Today on Family Talk.
Some of the most intimidating times for parents involve trying to answer the questions of children who are getting older. Parents can be left scrambling when their kids blurt out questions that they, the parents, aren't ready to answer. It's extremely important for parents to be prepared, no matter how awkward the questions may be, because your answer, Mom and Dad, will ready your children for young adulthood. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. Today, you will hear from two sets of parents who have been through the tough stage of answering the hard questions with their kids. Dr. Dobson's guests include Jim and Janet Weidman, who have four kids, and Jim and Barbara DeCharnay, who have two kids. Let's listen now to today's episode of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, which we've entitled Parents Prepare for Adolescence.
And we're going to start with you, as a matter of fact. We had a dinner engagement together not too long ago, and you were telling a story of the fact that you actually kidnapped your kids, in a sense. Barb,
That's
tell
right.
about that.
We did. Jim took Rick, and I took Kara, each of them when they were 11, just before going into sixth grade, thinking that middle school was coming, adolescence was coming. Let's talk about some of the issues that are brought up in the tapes. I'd had the tapes since they were toddlers and thought we would use them someday. And so I started first, since our daughter is the eldest, took her to a motel, and we ran away as two girls instead of mom and daughter, in a sense, and spent the afternoon and evening on a Friday and all through Saturday playing together, and just made it a fun weekend. She didn't
know
what to expect.
Know? No. Did she know where you were going or
no,
why?
No, she didn't. She knew I was going to kidnap her, but she didn't know what we were going to do.
So you kind of made a joke out of that.
Right.
Then I'm
yeah.
going to haul you
take
off
you
and
away.
We're going someplace.
That's right. Now, our son had heard about it then through her later, so he knew he was going to be kidnapped at some point.
Yeah. Did he look forward to that?
Very much so. Very much. He was very excited about it. In fact, he wanted it early.
Is that right? Now, Jim, you took him, right?
I sure did.
Did you go to the local Manitou Springs as well?
Oh, we did. As a matter of fact, we went to the very same motel because Rick, after finding out about this fantastic experience that Kara and his mom had, wanted to go to the same place because, as he said, it would be tradition. And so we went there. But prior to that, we went to this fantastic water slide in Colorado Springs, and we spent a couple of hours just roaring down this thing and just playing around like two boys, you know.
Now, this is not intended to be a confrontational thing. It's not when you do a lot of finger wagging and saying, you better do this and you must not do that. Then it's not a heavy thing. It should be a lot of fun, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, what we really wanted to do was set this up in such a way that it was not the typical circumstance where we were dad and son necessarily and mom and daughter, but we were really buddies. And we were going to go and play and have a great time, and we were going to just open up the dialogue completely with the assistance of your tapes and just really talk in a way that would be in a different circumstance than the usual setting of just a regular life.
Hmm. And obviously, they seemed to enjoy it.
They loved it.
Okay, Jim and Janet, let's hear your story.
Well, we took a little different approach. One of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that they understood what we were going to discuss so they could start to think through this in their mind and be ready for this discussion. So we planned the weekend. We told them it was coming to get them prepared. And so what we did is we went down to Janet's mother's house. And the interesting thing was is we'd listen to tapes going down because it was about an hour, 45-minute drive to Canyon City from Denver. And so we'd put the tape in, and we'd let you introduce the subject. And as you would bring up a point, one of the things that we would do is we would stop the tape, and it gave us a chance to discuss that particular issue.
Hmm.
So your tapes took a little longer than you had.
About 6 years,
yeah,
right?
It took a long time.
Janet, what was it like with your daughter?
With Janae, we had it on the calendar probably at least a good month in advance that we were going to be taking this trip, and we just took it in May. And so we had that anticipation of looking forward to the trip. And it was just so much fun to check into the motel with Janae. She knew the kinds of things that we were going to talk about, but really didn't know too much of the details on it. My purpose for doing this with Janae at, she was almost 11, which I, after listening to your tapes, I probably would have waited a little bit longer, except that she was going on a trip with her cousin who was just told all the facts of life because...
And your hand was forced a little, wasn't it?
Because that cousin just had a new baby brother. So I wanted this whole story to be coming from me rather than from a cousin or friends.
Someone told me, Janet, that you said that there were certain subjects where you were glad I was talking instead of you.
I was. Jim said that when he got home, too, from taking Josh. I remember meeting him on the driveway, and he said, boy, am I glad Dr. Dobson had to explain those things. And I said, well, what things? And so, you know, even the act of lovemaking and everything, I just felt like it was better to be coming from you. And two, your name is such a household word that the kids already look up to you. So it was like having you right there in the room with us explaining these things to Janae and I. And then there would be times that we'd turn the tape off and I would be able to
elaborate
on my feelings. But
I was talking to a mother the other day who has a 9-year-old who just, they were riding in a car. He was in the front seat, and there were only two of them in the car. And all of a sudden, he asked all the right questions, or all the wrong questions, because she was not ready for this at all. And he wouldn't let her off the hook. He'd heard something, and he just began really pushing her. And so she says, okay, Lord, here we go, help me. And she gave it all to him. Boy, she said, I held back nothing. I told him the whole reproductive story. And he just sat there looking straight ahead. He didn't show any emotion on his face. He just sat there as she was talking. And when she was finished, he reached over and rolled down the window and stuck his head out and said, sick, I'm going to be sick. I know I'm going to be sick.
I do have to admit that was Janae's reaction. Got to that point, she did. The color went out of her face, and she said, oh, Mom, I think I'm going to get sick.
That happened to Jacob, too. I had to stop the tape and let him recover, and then we talked through it.
We kind of took an opposite approach. We have told the kids the facts of life since early ages. Yeah. And so they already knew most of that stuff, so there was no shock in that. In fact, the greatest benefit for us, I think, was the peer pressure and conformity and self-esteem issues that were brought up. And also clearing up some misconceptions that they did have about marriage and family life. But
one of the things I tried to say on one of the tapes, it's been a while since I've listened to them, but to try to prepare the kid for that moment when everybody in the peer group that he or she is with wants to do something wrong. And what do? If you don't think that through in advance, you don't know how to handle it. You panic. You're sitting in a car and, you know, there are five people in the car and they all take drugs or they all start drinking or doing something and you don't want to do it. You know it's wrong. You know God won't be pleased with you for doing this. You know your parents won't be pleased. You know it's harmful to you. But what do you do when you're the only one? Now, if you can walk a kid through that and give him words to say when that moment comes, you greatly increase the chance of the confidence of withstanding that peer pressure. So that was another purpose. Let's go back to the issue that's kind of come up incidentally so far, and that has to do with when you do this. I have recommended that it be in the period immediately prior to that sexual and physical explosion that takes place. You can see it coming. Mm-hmm. If you're simply watching the signs, you see behavior starting to change, you see a growth spurt, you see the physical changes that are occurring. If you wait too long after that, for some girls in particular, you'd be 2 years late. There are some kids that you need to wait till 13 or 14. I took Ryan when he was 11 and started playing the first tape and turned it off because we were too early. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wasn't there yet, wasn't interested yet. And so you really do need to watch the child. And it'll vary 3 or 4 years because development can vary so much.
I think you also need to watch the environment the child is in.
That's right.
Because the environment may bring up discussions, and if they don't have that information, they don't really know what's right and what's not right. My father was an engineer, and he tried to explain a reproductive process through me through
terms.
piping and plumbing. And it wasn't until years later that I figured out I had it wrong.
Well, I heard more about pistols and stamens than I ever wanted to know, too.
But the environments that they're in become real important, too. If they're into sports and so forth, then they're going to be presented with some of this, as other kids are blossoming before others, then you need to equip them with what's right. And I think if you can get it early enough, because you have shared it with your child, the innocence is there. And one of the things that we've seen is our children have come back to us because we explained it to them in the innocence and ask us follow-on questions as they began to process what we talked about.
And another side point I thought was interesting when you're talking about the timing of this is sometimes the emotions will eventually get in the way of hearing your message if the kids are too old.
Yes, yeah.
If they come at 11 or 12, they haven't hit that cycle of up and down that's so extreme. And so when the self-esteem hits a big low in later years, we found it's been helpful to go back and say, see, remember we said this will be happening. Mm-hmm. You will hit a low and you'll come back up. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, we've given the impression that the tapes are all about reproduction and sex and so on, but it's actually only one tape that really deals with that. The other five deal with other things that are equally important. One of them is the assault on the self-worth, on self-esteem that occurs at that age. I know hardly a kid in the adolescent years at some point that doesn't go through a crisis of confidence where they don't know who they are and who cares, and I'm a failure and a fool, and I put on this face and hope people like me, but I don't think they do, and if they really knew me, they probably wouldn't. That is almost universal in this culture, especially, where you have to be so physically perfect. Jim and Janet, you all have talked about the fact that this is not just something that you do, but it's something that you really ought to emphasize and something that ought to get your total attention when that preparing for adolescence moment occurs. I think it would be helpful to explain what you mean by that.
One of the things that we try to do is we try and make this special to the child and set it up and let him anticipate that this is going to be a time that he is going to have with his father or she's going to have with their mother. And so we're real intentional about setting the time, blocking the time out of our busy schedules so we don't take anything with us. That's key to going away, is you're away from the phone, you're away from the distractions. So you can totally focus on the child and see what kind of reaction they get when you present the material. So you can react and respond to that, whether it is like we had talked about, actually stopping the tape when you see that your child's starting to react to a point or you want to make a point. But you can't do that with distractions. So you really set it aside. And do not rush the weekend. Mm-hmm. Let the child dictate the speed. And there's some things that we did is we would go out and actually do activities between tapes in order to give them a chance to process and try and understand what was presented. And they would process it. And then in a walk, they would bring some point up. But we actually dedicated the time to the child to focus on the child.
Didn't you wind up buying something for your child to commemorate that time? One of you did. Was that you, Jim? You bought a ring for your son or something? Help me.
I bought a ring for Janae.
Yes, that's it.
It's just a little ring with a small heart and a cross on it, just to more or less commemorate our weekend together, but also when we talked about the purity issues. Mm-hmm. And I told her that at 13, I will be replacing that ring with a solid gold ring for her when she's a little bit older like that so that she won't lose it. Mm-hmm. And that ring is to stay on her finger as a reminder to a vow that she made both to God and to her parents for sexual purity. And on her wedding night, I said, I want you to give that ring to your husband and be able to tell him that you have
saved yourself, remained
pure up until that time.
That's wonderful. For Danae, I had a little key made, tiny little artistic, beautiful little key made, and put a tiny little diamond in the point of it for her to hang around her neck as a symbol of the key to her heart and to her body to save herself. I think it's a good idea to combine it with that. Jim, were you uncomfortable with your son as you began going through these things? Did he seem interested and involved and seem to enjoy it?
As a matter of fact, I was very comfortable. And if I were to make one of the strongest statements that I could make recommending these tapes, it would be in conjunction with the idea of when you do them, because it's an entirely logical idea to remain sexually pure until marriage. Hmm. It's an entirely logical idea to understand that your life is in God's hands. It's an entirely logical idea to say that you'll stand on your own two feet as opposed to necessarily going along with the crowd. But it's only logical if you can intellectualize it.
Yeah.
If you can think of it without being under the tremendous pressure that comes with getting into adolescence and the tremendous peer influence on you. So when you start talking about these things at the right time, it's not all that difficult for a young person to say, yeah, that makes sense. And I found that with my son, in fact, even with the toughest stuff and the most shocking stuff, it wasn't really shocking.
Because the time was right.
Right, and it wasn't really tough. And I just rejoiced in the idea, very much, Jim, like you were talking before, of the ability to turn the tapes on and off all the time. You would bring up some particular topic, and you'd introduce it, and then we'd turn it off. And we'd start to talk about it. And after a while, if you'll allow for this, you could hardly tell the difference between when you were talking and when I was talking.
Yeah.
And boy, what a gift that was, because you talk so well. And I just felt that because you're so thoughtful in the way that you present these things, that we were able to, as much as you can with an 11-year-old, intellectualize our way through so many of these topics. Now, they're going to become very emotional very soon. But at that stage of the game, so much of the emotional side of it was not yet in play.
You know, I don't think I've ever written anything or recorded anything that I had less confidence in than this series when it started, because it's very difficult to hold the attention of kids that age. And I just sat down and recorded these things, and I didn't know whether they would be mortified, embarrassed, disinterested, or what. And so the first thing I did was took them to my church and said, how about you want to let some of the preteens hear these things? And they loved them. And from there, I shared them with other parents and gradually got the confidence to take them to a publisher and say, you want to publish these for that reason. But it has been very gratifying to me that most kids really seem to enjoy them.
I think that's because of your humor that comes through throughout the tapes. And you speak to the kids. You're speaking as if you're right there with them. And then there are these funny anecdotes that come out. And our kids were just laughing their heads off about some of the things that happened. And I think that's a big key.
What about the kids who have taken the Preparing for Adolescence trip and those that haven't in the family? Did you tell them not to share what they had heard? Or did you just let it go wherever it goes?
Because Jim had taken our two boys first, even though they're fairly close, it would just be not normal for the boys to share with their sister the things that were discussed when they were away with Jim. And so that was never discussed. Now with our littler one, Joy, she really doesn't understand just what we have talked about, but she knows that somewhere down the line she gets a trip with Mom too, but doesn't really understand it at this point.
One of the things that we've done is we've built this into the family tradition. And so not so much as the sharing, but there's the anticipation that they'll go on this event and have that special time with Mom and Dad, because of the fact that one of the things that happens is that any time that you go away with your child and you spend that kind of time with your child, the value of the child rises within themselves because their father or mother is taking this time. And so we found that to be very, very important.
Barb, you and your daughter took notebooks along with you, didn't you?
We took notebooks. I thought it would be helpful if my daughter wrote in her own language and in her own handwriting at that age what she was getting from the tapes. So we each took notes. And it was very interesting to see what she was catching from it. We would stop periodically and I'd say, would you mind sharing with me what you've written down? And she would read it to me and I'd say, does that make sense to you? And it helped us clarify things quite a bit. And we've used her notebook. This was 4 or 5 years ago that we did it with her.
You still go back and look at it?
Yes, and she'll go back, especially when she's feeling low and there's something that has caused a crisis in self-esteem or something. And she'll look back and I'll say, see your notes here? You're going to feel like that. It's in your own handwriting. And that seems to be really helpful.
I talked, as I recall, about the emotions swinging from one extreme to the other. And so when it occurs, then you say, see there, you're at the low end of that cycle. But guess what follows it? It's the upper end of it, you know. Another thing that we talked about there that I'd like your reaction to is the conflict between generations, the inevitable tension between parent and child. And I think I explained it in terms of the fact that most teenagers are very anxious to make their own decisions. They want to be out from under this parental authority that's guided them and set the boundaries and limits for them. They don't feel like a child anymore. They want to be an adult. And who's to tell them that they can't do something or they have to be in at a certain hour? And then the parent, from the other point of view, still bears the responsibility and knows that there are dangers out there and that they still have to set limits. And so this sets up a little bit of conflict, mm-hmm. and we'll probably feel it. There'll probably be a time when you think I'm not being fair, a time when you think that everybody else is getting to do things that you can't, and I won't be able to convince you that what I'm telling you is in your best interest. Those moments will come. When they do, remember, we're going to still love each other. We're going to get through this. And on the other side, we're going to be friends.
Right, yeah. Right. And it just, it builds such a relationship between you that you open up those lines of communication. But I do need to share this one little story, which I had told you about, Dr. Dobson, but I don't think you would share it, so I need to. But soon after we were listening to the tapes, I was, a couple weeks later, I was scrubbing the kitchen floor and Janae was in the family room watching a tape on King Solomon. And as she it was about King Solomon having to make the decision for the two women who were saying that the baby was theirs. Yeah. And he was having to make that decision on who to give that baby to. And she was just watching it so intently. And she said, boy, King Solomon is really smart, isn't he? And I said, well, yeah, Janae, he's the wisest man that ever lived. And she was quiet for a second, and she said, well, I thought Dr. Dobson was.
Oh, yeah. Bring the knife. What do you think?
So you can see that.
Oh, boy.
What kind of a rapport you have with our children.
Well, you've done a number on them, I'll tell you that.
Your warmth just comes through so loud and clear in this tape series that it's just those kids just feel that warmth coming through the tape.
I appreciate that. I love kids. I always have. I've spent a good part of my life working either with or on behalf of children. I think some of the happiest times of my life were as a junior high teacher, believe that or not. But I love those kids, and I bawl like a baby on the last day of school when they left. And some of them cried, too. But I do love children, and it's a pleasure to be able to even discuss a subject of this nature. Well, it's been good to have you all here. Thank you so much for participating with us and for sharing your experiences with your kids. I hope it's been helpful to others out there who maybe will be enticed to do the same thing. I sure hope so. Whether you need our materials or whether you can handle it on your own, you really should not send pre-adolescence into the teen years without taking a little bit of time to tell them what's coming, because that's just not fair. I said earlier that was like going up the first dip of a roller coaster without knowing what was at the top. It's also like allowing a train to go down a track with the bridge out, and you know it's out, and you don't bother to flag them down. You know, and you just let that train rumble on through town, and everybody suffers when that occurs. But it's been a pleasure talking to you all. Thanks for your openness and honesty. And it'd be fun to kind of get together when your kids are grown and see if they still remember what you talked about. God's blessings to you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson here on Family Talk and his conversation with Jim and Janet Weidman and Jim and Barbara Desjardins about preparing children for the tough teen years. If you'd like additional resources or more information about this topic, you can go to our website at drjamesdobson.org. Again, you'll find that information on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. If you enjoyed today's program, or if you want to share your story, you can call our listener feedback line. It's a toll-free number, 844-823-2669. Once you call, you'll have 2 minutes to leave your message, and once that recording has begun, be succinct if you possibly can. We're extremely grateful for any and every call we get with the feedback and comments and testimonies that you share. So call our Family Talk listener feedback line at 844-823-2669. Be sure to check out Family Talk's Facebook page to listen to past shows or see encouraging photos and videos that we've posted there. Simply go to facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. While you're there, you can join in on the conversation about today's program as well. Again, go to facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Thanks so much for listening today. We hope you find encouragement from the broadcast that we've presented here. And be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you have a great day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.